Welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Hey, welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast, where I talk about random stuff at random times. Today's episode, I wanted to talk about should or should you not clean your engine bay. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you I did it. But in the end, there's one episode I watched. This guy named Scotty has a YouTube channel. He's kind of entertaining because he just says it like it is and tells you what to buy, what not to buy. And I've watched this episode before. And he basically says, you don't need to clean your engine bay. He goes, there's no reason to do it because it's all covered up. You know, the oily bits stay oily anyhow. It's, you know, if you have an air-cooled motor, you should, because then it can, you know, can get the air cooling done. But if you have a regular car that's water-cooled or liquid-cooled, you don't need to do your, you don't need to clean it, in other words. But off-roaders like us tend to make a real hot mess of what's underneath the hood. And water gets in there anyhow. So my thought was, well, if, you know, it's not a sealed engine bay. It's going to get full of water no matter what. I figured it was safe. So I watched a couple different videos, and I thought I was going to do it. So I started doing some more research on how to do it. Now, this isn't a how-to guide because I forgot to cover the alternator, but hopefully it still works. Next week, I'll probably be telling you how I changed the alternator in my Jeep because I screwed it up. But it started up and ran just fine when I after I got done working on it today. But I did a few things. I thought, well, which degreaser should I get? What kind of cleaner should I get? And after kind of understanding what you should do, you probably should cover up all the electronics. Like you disconnect the negative ground for your battery. And I did that right out of the gates. I covered up the intake on the air cleaner. Covered that up just so no water gets in there. Covered up my, actually I took some black tape. And I do have onboard air because the lockers I go in are ARB. And I have onboard air on here. So I covered up kind of the end points where you would plug in the solenoids. So I covered those up with black tape. Don't know if it helped or needed that or not. But I thought, what the heck, I have black tape 5 feet away. Might as well use it. So then I got to work on just covering those things up. And I should have probably covered up the alternator. And I didn't. But I did have the battery unplugged. So, or the negative unplugged, so I figured I'm safe. So I didn't spray directly onto the cleaner right onto the alternator either. I kind of just sprayed it on the spray top down a little bit, just on the parts that I really wanted to get clean. My goal wasn't to have the cleanest engine bay known to man. So the goal wasn't to have like a show quality clean engine bay. It was really just so I could actually do some work underneath there. I think I want to reroute my onboard air a little bit. The lockers hopefully are going in sometime this decade. So I kind of wanted to get underneath there and kind of clean it up. I just opened my hood so I can talk more about it, the experience of doing it. I just want to have it cleaner. Reason why it was dirty, trip to Gilbert last fall and all the trips before that. Then also the trip to Trollhog in the spring already. Kind of left the underneath of the hood pretty much a hot mess, especially the Gilbert trip. We were in some pretty deep mud, water sprays up in there a good bit, and I knew that was just going to be a hot mess underneath there. And it has been, you know, the underneath side of the hood even was just gross. I mean, no matter how many times I cleaned it, it was just still dirty. I washed it a bunch of times and just could never really get it all cleaned the way I wanted it. So I asked some friends about it, some people that I work with, and they're like, hey, it's just pretty easy, just buy this stuff and go. And there's tons of stuff that's out there. So I did a little bit of research, and I was going to go to Home Depot, buy a concentrated 1 gallon, and just make my own little water bottle out of it. We use some old Windex bottle and just make my own mixture. It's $37 for this big jug. I'm like, God, that seems like a lot, especially since I'm not cleaning the engines every day. And then I went around and Wally World had a bunch of different stuff there. So I went over to Walmart and picked up one. And I was going to buy a big jug, but I ended up buying a small jug for now. I thought, well, I'll try this stuff out. And it was one that somebody talked about. What I really wanted is a biodegradable one because I'm going to do this in my garage. It doesn't stink up the place, so I don't want any scent to it. I lucked out, this didn't have any scent to it. So I use about the Super Clean. It's in a purple jug. It's biodegradable, safe for the environment. because this I have drains in my garage. This is going to go drain out, and I want it to be just safe. And so that's the stuff I went with. And they actually have a refill that's a gallon. So this was $6, and they have a refill. It's 32 ounces for $5.88 with tax. And then they also have a big old gallon jug, or 2 gallon, it's huge, for like $9. So I think when I need to refill it, I'm just going to buy that big old jug. I don't think it's a concentrate. I think this stuff wasn't. This was spray ready. Sometimes they have concentrates, but this wasn't a concentrate. It was just spray ready to go. So I don't know if the other stuff they have there is a concentrate. It would be great if it was, that I can just, you know, make it really last. But I don't know how often I'm going to do this because, you know, I guess every time I go mudding or get in a mud, stuck in the mud, I guess I'll probably do it again. More on that later, because it turned out well. So I want to kind of just tell you out of the gates, but kind of more on how easy it was to use. So that was kind of my, where I went, how I got it. So I knew that like I wasn't going to scrub it clean. I wasn't going to get all the oil off. I just want to get the top layer of gunk off and all the Trollhagen / Gilbert red that ends up on your rig after you do something like that. So I had it in the garage. It was, you know, it's not my daily, so it was cooled off already, so it wasn't all hot. So I didn't need to wait that time to let it cool off. And then I got to work on just plugging everything up, you know, taking the battery cable off, plugging up the intake, and then covering up a couple of other things like the electronics underneath there for the locker piece. Just, you know, use some duct tape. So all that went pretty easy. And kind of watched one more video on it, you know, kind of how to do it, not to use a high pressure washer underneath there, just to kind of use a light hose and even a mist. And that's what I end up using to kind of wash it. So it was dry when I started. I sprayed on the spray. I ended up using about a third of the bottle, to be honest with you. Anyhow, I started spraying. I started underneath the hood itself, the metal hood. So I sprayed that, got that all down nice and coated, I guess you could say. Then I started on the motor, just kind of spritzing where I thought it needed to be spritzed. And let it sit for not that long until I got the hose out. And I knew there's no electronics on the underside of the hood, so I used a little bit of higher pressure underneath there. And I tell you guys, the stuff just melted right off. It just came right off. All that mud that was kind of stuck there, and it really left a clean underside of the hood. And I turned the hose down to kind of the misting or the flat level. I got one of those nozzle things on there that you can kind of turn it around a little bit and turn it down in different styles, whatever you want to use. And I kind of misted it over the top of the motor, and the stuff just kind of rained right off. I was really surprised how well it worked, just getting all the mud and the gunk off the motor. As I'm looking at it right now, I'm still amazed about how quick it kind of just got that stuff off. And I can also see where I missed. But, well, like I said, it wasn't like I wanted to get 100% clean, but we got the big chunks and the bulk of it is off. That was the goal. So I did the first round of it. I kind of just went lightly, and then I started looking around. I'm like, well, I can get my little brush out. I have a little, I don't know what you call it, it says degreaser brush. I don't know where I got it. But I used that a little bit on the head just to kind of get some of the thick oil off and a couple other spots, just test it out. Use a little bit more of the spray and just light scrubbing in a few areas that I thought I could use, and hit the spray again. Stuff just shed right off. So it all came off really well, to be honest with you. So again, the name of the product is Super Clean. It's in Walmart. It's one of the detailers I watch, or I pulled up today. I don't usually watch them. He said, yeah, it's out of Eagan, Minnesota. Look at that. But he said this is one of the lighter stuff you could use. It's not a heavy, you know, product. It's not going to, you know, no fumes and stuff. You don't need to wear gloves with it, I don't think. As I'm looking at the label, maybe I should have. Yeah. Maybe you should have used gloves and some eye protection. I didn't. I should have. Sorry about that. That's what I would have done different. Probably would have put some eye protection on. But again, it wasn't like high power washing anything here. So just left it as is in light water, and that was safe enough. What do I do different next time? I probably would have brought a brush. I was in Walmart looking around. Like, I kind of wanted, what I wanted to get was a brush, like a toilet brush. That way I had a stick and I kind of have a little bit rounded, so I kind of get into the corners a little bit and the nooks and crannies. And I thought, well, this time I'll just try it out, see how I like it. And it worked out pretty well. I think next time I will get a brush like that, buy some cheap brush. And that way I kind of get into the nooks and crannies a bit more and really kind of get after it. But it wasn't the goal to get super clean. It was just the goal to kind of get partially clean. So anyhow, I did all that. Like I said, it came out really well. So then I was motivated to wash the outside, and I am motivated to do a little bit of a wax job coming up. So that's something that's going to be coming up sometime soon. But all in all, I was really happy with the way it came out. This is something I want to do for a long time. So why I'm bringing it up now is like I was debating for a long time whether to do it or not, mainly because is it safe? Is it necessary? And in the like, but if you're gonna be working on your motors, kind of nice to start with a clean product. So I figured, well, I'll clean it now, and if I get into some of the other parts I want to do, some of the other things I want to do, it's ready to go, and I know what I'm doing. I also invited my brother up and you know my other buddies, but I think they're busy, and my brother might come down and might do his motor. His motor's same as mine and hot mess. He was in the same place as I was, so he'll have similar results to that with when we do his. If he comes down this weekend, but pretty excited the way it came out. So that's kind of my suggestion. If you're looking to do any work on your motor or have somebody work on it, this was about a 25 to 45 minute job. If I really want to take my time and use a brush to really get in there, would have took a little longer, but I got good results what I got, and if I end up changing the head gasket on here or whatever, then I'll definitely clean it all up first and then let it sit for a couple days and then tear into that. But all in all, I was pretty excited the way it came out. So that's my suggestion. If you're looking to do some stuff, that's the route I went. You can use a different product if you want. This product worked just fine for me. What do I do different next time is probably cover the alternator, cover everything else. And then I would probably, like I said, use that brush. But all in all, it came out really well. I'm pretty excited about it. Other thing I worked on this week, this is going to be a shorter episode. There wasn't much going on, but I do want to get some pledge for the wheels. I was at Walmart and I thought, well, I definitely want to do that. But I learned that pledge is a great way to kind of keep a tire shine, kind of a muted shine on your tires. And I just don't have any pledge at home. I got some other stuff, but it didn't work as well. I tried it out before I went. I should have picked up a jug of pledge too. So that's the other thing I'm going to do. But also, I had little center caps on. I actually asked a couple guys if they had any available, and they didn't. But the center cap on my aluminum wheels and the TJ here came out. I lost it between when I got my new tires on there, when I got the tire fixed. I talked about it in the last episode, I think. Somewhere in there, it loosened up and came out. So I went on eBay. Here's the funny part. I could have bought one for $23. Or four of them on eBay for 22. So I bought the four. So if anybody out there is in need, I'm willing to part with two of them because I want to keep a spare here in case this one falls out. But that was an easy fix. It was, like I said, 20 some bucks on eBay, and it was here a few days later. It took 0.1 seconds to pop it in there. So I'm worried that's going to pop back out. And so if I lose this one, I'm definitely going to use a little bit of RTV or something and kind of stick it in there a little bit tighter. But it went in there, no problem, and it looks just like the rest of them again. So it's actually a plastic piece. I thought it was aluminum itself, but the center cap is a plastic piece. I was really surprised about that. It's just a gray color with a black outline of the word Jeep. So I just went and got a different cap. It's factory OEM, and I slapped it in there. So nothing really to report there. I'm not bragging about it. I did it, but it's just done. I'm just happy that I have a few spares now for that one. But yeah, that's all I did with the Jeep this week. No off-road events. I think I had a top down last Sunday or Saturday, whatever day of week it was. It was a nice day out. Hopefully this Saturday coming up on, will that be the 20th, March 20th? Hopefully get out there again with a top down. 60 degrees maybe, mainly in Minnesota here. People who live outside of the state and they hear about 60 degrees, they think it's cold. But to us, that's summertime. You just got to put a hoodie on, you're set. But people in Arizona, they think it's snowmobile suit weather yet. But for us, you see a lot of people out there like that. I've seen people out in their Porsches with the top off when it's 35 degrees. So those guys, same thing, they're after it. They just want summer to roll around. They have a convertible in Minnesota, they want to use it. So they want to get after it. So, but yeah, that's all there is to report on the Jeep this week. You can watch plenty of YouTube channels for the details on how to do the underhood. This wasn't a tutorial for you to do it. It's just how I did it. But go online, look for yourself. Look for that Scotty guy. He's an interesting guy. But I just put in there should you clean your engine bay? And he's like, Scotty's like one of the first ones to come up, and he'll say, don't do it. And then by the end, he's telling you how to do it. So it's kind of funny. So check it out. It's a, you know, 5, 6, 7 minute video, whatever. But I just get a kick out of that guy. He tells you not to do it, then he tells you how to do it at the end. But if you really need to do it, and I felt I really needed to do this to get it done. Am I going to do it again? Probably. But like I said, I'll change ways I do it. But if I end up blowing the alternator, you know why. Well, thanks again for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. I'm always looking for people who might want to be on the podcast. So if you have an interesting build or an interesting story, kind of hit message me and I'll probably have you on. I've had a couple other people, you know, message me randomly, and I call them up and say, hey, you want to be on and tell your story? And like, sure. So that's kind of how I meet people. So if you have an interesting story, an off-road event you've been to, or an interesting build, hit me up. Otherwise, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Hey, gang. Maybe you're listening to this podcast and wondering why it's brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Well, my name's Mitch. I own this podcast, but I also own another business, which is the main thing that I do. And I'm a personal trainer. I've been a personal trainer since 1999. And I love helping people get in the best shape of their life. So if your goal is to gain weight, lose weight, get in shape for a running race, or just to be fit and strong, I can definitely help you out with that. I do one-on-one personal training, either in person or online. I do small group training in person or online. I also do give you nutritional advice and much, much more. If you've never worked with a personal trainer, a lot of people find it very motivating and fun while they're getting their butt kicked. So if that's something that interests you, message me on primeshapefitness.com. I have a way to get you to hold me for that. Or go to the Facebook page, find me on Prime Shape Fitness, or even Crossroad Off-Road, message you through there, and I'll get a hold of you. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness, your one-stop shop for your fitness needs.